3, testing 1, 2, 3. Do you want to know what a real challenge is? A real challenge is talking about checking out in a B-25 Mitchell in 15 minutes or less. It just can't be done, but I'm going to give it a shot. First, when you're thinking about a B-25, I know that most of you have walked around them, so you know how big they are. When you crawl up inside the airplane, when you are not actually in the cockpit, you're in the bay between the bomb bay and the flight deck, where the turret drops down in between. And you climb up the ladder and you crawl up in between the seats and slide down into the left seat. And on the floor between the two seats is a whole bunch of levers that are generally worn smooth by people walking on them. On the quadrant by your right knee, there are not only the throttles and the mixtures and the pitch control, but just ahead of that are all the engine controls, the magnetos, the prop feather switches, a bunch of others. But the cockpit is really not very big. It's not as big as you would think it to be in all those for that much airplane. By the same token, the cockpit of a B-25 is exactly the same size as the cockpit in a B-17, even though the 17 is a much bigger airplane. You only need so much space to house two men and their controls. Only the B-29 and the Lancaster have really giant cockpits. When you start the engines and your head's hanging out the left side and you're calling out, you're holding up your fingers so your co-pilot can see you counting blades, and you say, all right, mag's on. So you've cranked it three or four blades, and after about four blades, you turn the magnetos on, and you hear a cough and then another cough and then a ratty little cough, and a bunch of smoke comes out of the back of the engine. And finally, you get the number one engine, the one on the left, started. Then you do the same thing to the one on the right. And when you get them started, there's a lot of noise. And you know there's going to be a lot of noise because you can look out at those engine cowlings. They're only about 5 feet away. And the exhaust stacks all come out real short right in the cowling. So they are not, there's no mufflers on these suckers. So you've got 2,600 cubic inches on each side kicking out power out through those little ports right up against the fuselage. So once you get them started, it's noisy. But you don't know what noise is until you get ready to take off. Taxiing the airplane is kind of interesting because the nose wheel doesn't steer. You have to steer it with brakes and rudder. And the brakes are those multi-disc types like I talked about on the P-38 that are real super sensitive. So you have to just barely touch them and they grab to turn it left and right. And it's hard to do it smoothly, and I always had trouble with that. And once you get it out to the end of the runway and line it up, you feel like you can see really well down the runway because you're seeing over the nose. What you don't realize is the minute that because you're sitting so low in the airplane, the minute you have any angle on it, you can't see over the nose. You bring the power up with your right hand, your fingers grasp around the throttles and make sure they're moving forward. Your co-pilot's got your hands behind his to make sure that everything keeps moving. Power comes up, and the airplane, at the weights that we're flying, accelerates quite good. You wouldn't expect it out of a bomber like that. It doesn't jump out from underneath you like a fighter. But since we're flying them so light compared to what they did when they were loaded during the war, they really do accelerate quite quickly. You get a little bit of pressure in it, bring the stick back just, the yoke back just a little bit, and as the nose comes up, you've got to ease off the back pressure so it doesn't get too high. And as the nose comes up, you can't see straight ahead. You've got to look out at an angle towards the edge of the runway to keep it straight. When you first start rolling, you're using differential throttles and maybe a little bit of brake to keep it straight for the first second or two because your rudders aren't powerful enough yet. But after it gets just a little bit of speed and the wind blast from the engine gets on the rudders, it's actually pretty easy to steer. It steers pretty well, and you have no trouble keeping it straight. Plus, because it's twin engine and it's so heavy, it doesn't have any torque or any P factor of any to speak of that makes it want to go right or left as it comes off the ground. As the airplane comes off the ground, if you're flying the airplane by yourself or you don't want to use your co-pilot, you reach down with your right hand on the backside of the console, flip the gear handle up. As the gear comes up, there's very little to no pitch, but you've got trim controls on the back of the console, and you got rudder controls down on the floor. I'm talking about rudder trim. So you trim it to climb, keeping the power wherever you want it. And the noise is more than you can possibly imagine, but it's a totally different type of noise than you hear in a fighter, especially in something like a Mustang, where the engine in a Mustang is very, very sharp. It's got a real bark to it. That's very, very painful. The big round engines, even though they're right there pointed at your ears, they are just loud. They don't have, they're kind of like a difference between a rifle and a shotgun. A Mustang is a rifle, it's got a crack to it. And the B-25 has this big shotgun sound. It's just a big sound. And if you're not wearing a headset and you put your mouth about 3 inches away from the guy next to you, you can barely yell loud enough to be heard. So yes, you can be heard, but it isn't easy. That's why a headset and an intercom is an absolute necessity. As you're climbing away from the airport, you have to do a little bit of S-turns here and there so you can see over the nose, unless you're climbing the nose way down, and get it up to altitude. Now, this thing is not a rocket ship. When it's climbing, I've never actually measured the rate of climb, but I would imagine it's in the 1,300 foot, maybe 1,500 foot category, 12 to 1,500 foot per minute, that is. And that's without bombs or without load or anything else. You figure that the airplane carries right at 1,000 gallons of gas. So 1,000 gallons of gas is 6,000 pounds right there. So very few people actually fill it all the way up. Not to mention the fact that 1,000 gallons of gas these days is between $4,500 and $5,000 just to fill the airplane. So that kind of slows you down right there. As you get up to altitude and you bring the power back, the airplane will come up to about 190 miles an hour, maybe 200 miles an hour, which again isn't lightning fast, but it's pretty fast for that big of an airplane. And when you start playing with the controls, you realize this airplane is not a fighter. The controls are a little on the heavy side, but the airplane responds fairly quickly. But as soon as you roll into a bank, especially if you're slow, the nose wants to fall, and you've got to get some back pressure in it to keep the nose from coming on down. Then you want to pay attention to that in approach later on. The beautiful part of the airplane, however, is how it handles a slow speed. Most of the World War II twin-engine bombers, like the A-26 and the B-26, when you got them slow, you really had to pay attention to them because they could bite you real hard. When you slowed this airplane down and started the stick coming back, the yoke coming back, the nose is coming up, when it finally stalls, it just kind of drops the wing, kind of sloughs forward in this big kind of a mush. It doesn't unload and crack down real hard at all. Also, if you lose an engine and you're slow, you can bring the other engine back and still have a pretty good chance of keeping it under control. In fact, when I was checking out, the check pilot would slow the airplane down and then bring one engine back to zero thrust and just let me play with slowing it down and see how much rudder it took. And let me tell you, it took a lot of rudder. In fact, in my case, I had to roll on my side in the seat, put my shoulder up against the seat, and get my foot clear to the floor to keep the airplane straight with one engine feathered. And by the way, my instructor actually in feathered engines, which is not normally done. And while I was doing that, I'd be have my right hand down on the floor cranking like crazy trying to get rudder trim in it so I didn't have to stand on the rudder so hard. But the important thing about that is it gave you plenty of time to do it. It was not at all like an A-26 or a B-26 where when you lost one, you had to be lightning quick to take care of it or it was going to bite your leg off and bury you. And it did. A lot of those airplanes did, a lot of pilots. The B-25 is just kind of a big old puppy dog that was real easy to take care of. When you come back in to land the airplane, you know, since it's a nose-wheel airplane, there again, there's the assumption that you're going to be able to see over the nose, but let me tell you, it is no worse than landing a tail-wheel airplane. You get on downwind, get the gear down, get some flaps down, airplane slows down to about 140 or so. You've got a lot of power in at that point to keep it in the air because it's really dirty. And every time you turn, you can feel it start to lose altitude, and you got to bring the nose up just a hair, and that requires a pretty healthy pull on the yoke to do that. When you get it on center line, you can see over the nose just fine. There's no problem with that. And it'll follow the throttles quite nicely to get it down fairly close. And there's a tendency to think because it is such a heavy airplane that it has a feeling that's going to fall out of the air, you're a little bit afraid to close the throttles. But the truth is, as long as you've got about 110 or 120 on the clock as you're coming downhill, you bring the throttle back, the airplane will actually glide right down to the runway, and you'll be able to flare it. Now, that is only because we're flying them at such light weights. I've never flown one of these things heavy, and all the time that I have in the airplane is always with probably 500 to 700 gallons of gas, no bombs, 2-3 people on board. So it was not at all loaded as heavy as it could be, so I have no doubt that it handled entirely differently when it was loaded. But you get down over the runway and fly just like an airplane. Just bring the nose up, hold it off the runway, and as the airplane tries to settle, bring the nose up and hold the nose up attitude. Now, as you do that, the runway disappears, and you'll wind up looking out to the side of the nose at the edge of the runway out ahead of you on the left side and trying hard to hold it off. And as it tries to settle, you just put a little bit of back pressure and hold it off. It tries to settle, you hold it off. Then it touches down on the main gear, and it's really, really an easy airplane to put on its main gear and hold the nose gear up a little bit until it slows down and then let the nose down real easily. At that stage of the game, controlling the airplane becomes one of how delicate your toes are in using those multi-disc brakes, because it's just so easy to jerk to a halt, just jerk, jerk, jerk. And I had a terrible time with that for the first 4 or 5 hours. I finally got the hang of it, but every time I get back in one of them, I have the same problem again. I just can't be easy enough on the brakes so it doesn't jerk. Then when you turn off the runway and taxi in, it for whatever reason, the airplane just seems very normal. It doesn't seem like it's a terribly hard-flying airplane, because it's not. It doesn't feel as if it's a particularly dangerous airplane, because it's not, as long as nothing catches on fire, that is. And it's a kind of an airplane you could almost see yourself owning until you shut the engines down, turn around, climb down out of the airplane. As you're climbing down, you're looking at both sides of you, and you see all of the miles and miles of hydraulic lines and wires and valves and fittings. And then you get down, and the guy at the gas pump walks up and says, "How much do you want?" And you say, "Oh, give me about 500 gallons. And you realize that you've just spent something like $2,500. That's when the fun goes out of flying an airplane like that these days. Anyway, that's my experiences in a B-25. I'll see you next time around. See you on flightjournal.com. Adios.